Hey, hey, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Wednesday, September 11th, 2013, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge.
Are you JT Lancer?
No, I'm your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick.
Well, can I have your autograph, whoever you are?
Sure, Sonny. Just step aside. So guess what? It's my birthday today. So you want to know how old I am? I'll give you a hint. Listen to the music track playing under my words. Yep, pretty freaking old, huh?
Oh, we're telling truth.
Yep, truth is always the best option. So I know what you're thinking. Hey, Dr. Dick. Why are you working on such an auspicious occasion? The answer is simple. There's no rest for the wicked. Oh, and I have an amazing guest who's here as part of the Sex Wisdom series. I am proud to welcome a remarkable woman who is a powerhouse in the field of human sexuality. My guest today is internationally famous sexologist, sex educator, author, relationship expert, advice columnist, and television and radio personality, Dr. Yvonne Christine Fulbright. Yvonne and I will be chatting about loads of fascinating sex and culture-related stuff. However, just in case we don't get to everything that you want to hear about, Yvonne invites you to visit her on her site, cleverly named YvonneKFulbright.com, where you will find just about everything your heart could desire about our favorite topic. And all of our books are there too. And for your convenience, I will place links to her Facebook page and her Twitter feed in today's podcast posting on DrDickSexAdvice.com. But before we begin, a word from our sponsor, Spunk Lube. Okay, so besides the clever name, is there anything noteworthy about the Spunk Lube product line? Well, you're damn tootin' there is. Take, for example, their best-selling product, Spunk Hybrid. This stuff is phenomenal. It looks and feels just like cum, but without the sticky factor or the messy cleanup. Spunk Hybrid is perfect for use with all of your sex toys, even your expensive silicone toys. And it's condom safe too. It cleans up easily, it's non-staining, and in fact, it's the perfect mixture of water-based and silicon-based lube there is. Oh, did I mention that it looks and feels just like your own spooge?
So what are you going to do now?
I'm going to try to finish this ad. I got to tell you, Spunk Lube will revolutionize your sex play. I happen to know that jizz is a very powerful aphrodisiac for most guys, and for a lot of women, too. Folks love to see it, folks love to play with it, folks love to rub it in their skin. It's a huge turn-on for so many of us. Well, now, with Spunk Lube, you can get to indulge your little cum fetish as much as you'd like, and have a ball doing it. And on top of all of that, it's even good for your skin. But hey, don't take my word for it. Check out the rave reviews the Dr. Dick review crew gave Spunk Lube. Mosey on over to DrDickSexToyReviews.com, use the search function in the sidebar, type in Spunk Lube, and presto. The review is full of praise for the product, as well as numerous links to the SpunkLube.com site, where you can pick up your own supply. Do it now. That's Spunk Lube. Okay, on with the show. Welcome, Yvonne, and thank you for schlepping on over to DrDickSexAdvice.com. It's an honor to have you, a fellow sexologist, join me for this sex wisdom show. So now that you're here, would you like to say hello to all the really nice people?
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
So before we get started in earnest, I have something really important to tell you. I've admired your work for a very long time. You are like the biggest multimedia sex guru of all time, huh?
Well, I'm flattered you would chalk it up that grandiosely.
So you're on the you're on the television all the time, except the time when you're on the radio, and you're the author of 9 books and have a marvelous CD out there assisting parents about their role in educating their kids about sex. You have a series of e-guides and recorded teleseminars, and if that weren't enough, you are also the sexual health and wellness ambassador for Astroglide. Did I miss anything?
Oh, gosh, I think you got most of it. I mean, I also do quite a bit of teaching for American University, Penn State University, Argosy University. So that's a huge part of my workload these days. It's all really enjoyable, though.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So when the Astroglide publicist Jessica contacted me to suggest that we do a show together, I jumped at the opportunity. I love being in such illustrious company, and thank you so much for making yourself available to us.
Well, thank you.
At first, I thought Jessica was your publicist, and I thought, smell her.
I need
to get a publicist myself, don't you know?
You know, I once blew, for being a graduate student, blew a lot of money on an opportunity with a publicist who never delivered, and I have not tried ever since. I've had enough luck on my own. I don't think you always need somebody, but the hard part about hiring a publicist is finding the right one,
right,
a good
exactly.
one.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So Astroglide is doing a great job, if you ask me. So what does being Astroglide's sexual health and wellness ambassador entail, precisely? And, oh, you might mention what Astroglide is, just in case someone in our audience doesn't know it from a hole
sure.
in their head.
Well, Astroglide is a brand of lubricant, one of the best on the market, if not the best, in my personal opinion. Before I became involved with Astroglide a couple years ago, I was already an Astroglide user as, both personally and professionally had experimented with different brands and just really like what they have to offer, including a new line of for sensitive skin gels. I am somebody who has to worry about, you know, what I put on and in my body because I can have allergic reactions. So I really like that new formula. But Astroglide brought me on board a couple of years ago because, as is the case with a lot of sexual enhancement companies or safer sex products like Condom and other lube companies, people go to them thinking that they are a treasure trove of sexual health information.
Right.
Realizing that a lot of these people themselves haven't, you know, gone to school, that their expertise is marketing or product production or whatever. So they wanted somebody on their team who could answer questions from web browsers, as well as provide tips to the public. And we do put out a newsletter every month if people want to go to astroglide.com and sign up.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay, so let's start by getting to know you a little bit better. I love reading what people have to say about themselves on their sites. And on your site, cleverly named YvonneFulbright.com, you have a page entitled About Dr. Yvonne.
Mm-hmm.
There you write, originally from Iceland, international sexologist, sex educator, author, relationship expert, advice columnist, and television and radio personality, Dr. Yvonne Christine.
Yes.
Fulbright gave her first formal lecture on sex in the sixth grade when she presented her classmates with a talk on female reproductive systems and sexual intercourse. This consciousness-raising Scandinavian sex expert has been fueled by her passion for healthy, open discourse about sexuality ever since. I love it, a child prodigy.
Well, I don't know if I did that far, but I did find my passion or my calling early. You know, I am from Iceland originally. I had moved to the States when I was in fifth grade, and, I was the first girl in my class at 10 to have hit puberty. I was, the first one who was budding with breasts and so forth, getting wider hips, and was, of course, getting a lot of positive and negative attention for that. And my classmates were really quite curious, like, what's going on with her, especially since, so at least some of them were aware that they would be, next.
Right.
And so in sixth grade, my teacher gave an opportunity for people to do a project, 5 minutes on any part of the body, like a system of the body, like cardiovascular, digestive. And I wanted to do something different. And so I chose female reproductive system. And, my parents helped me make the female reproductive system, the ovum, a vaginal canal,
wow.
Everything out of junk, because that was one of the project requirements. And it was a really fun experience. I did find out years later from that same teacher that he had had to ask special permission from the school principal for me to do that project. And I'm now amazed as a sexuality educator that a school in central Pennsylvania would let me do that.
It's absolutely true, because I mean, even today, I mean, in some places in the country, that would be just, you know, completely beyond the pale. I'm just like, forget it. Are you kidding?
Right.
So you go on to say about yourself, Dr. Yvonne received her master's in human sexuality education from the University of Pennsylvania and her PhD in international community health studies at NYU. Where she focused on sexual health and parent-child sex communication. She went on to cut her first audio guide, Who Better Than You? Educating Your Child About Sex, Love, and Relationships, and launched SexualFusion.com. Was your first passion this interest in sex education for kids?
Not necessarily. You know, when I was in sixth grade, of course, I wasn't differentiating the need for different topics to be age appropriate and so forth.
Right.
It's just I was recognizing how backwards we are in this country when it comes to handling a number of sexuality issues that are considered healthy, natural, normal in other parts of the world.
Right.
And so my agenda has always been access to information, you know, having the skills, knowledge to make your own decisions within your own value system according to what's right for you, as long as it's, you know, mutually pleasurable and consensual if it involves other people.
So in order for that to happen, I think you just said that we have to have adequate education for our kids. We need to present them with information so that they can consume that education and make up their mind for themselves.
Well, I think some parents, when it comes to adequate sexuality education, the definition of what is adequate is very individual, and that's a huge part of the conversation and the debate in this country, with some people feeling that adequate is withholding information. You know, supposedly sexual ignorance being bliss.
Mm-hmm.
Others would say anything goes. And I fall more in the middle as far as what a lot of parents are in agreement about is make sure that it's age appropriate and that it's topics that, you know, a 5-year-old can handle versus what a 10-year-old can handle and versus what a 15-year-old can handle, with the comprehensive approach being ideal. And a number of professionals' opinions, because it not only deals with, you know, the birds and bees, basic biological, physiological information, but it looks at the psychological, social, emotional, even spiritual components of what it means to be a sexual human being. Forget even sexually active, but the fact that we are sexual human beings before we're even born
is
quite remarkable and something that we shouldn't ignore. And it's just making people feel good about that part of themselves instead of it being something shameful, unnatural, dirty.
Right. But a lot of parents, I see this in my own practice, a lot of parents are equally ignorant about their bodies and their sexual response and their eroticism and all of that kind of thing. So it's often like the blind leading the blind.
Oh, most definitely. You know, especially since a lot of them did not get adequate information from their own parents,
right,
and the
right.
school systems are dropping the ball. So a lot of parents do need to get a hold of the books or audio guides like mine, which is titled Who Better Than You? Educating Your Child About Sex, Love, and Relationships, because those sorts of resources from, you know, credible sexuality educators, sexologists, are there to help walk parents to the different stages. I would also recommend that parents take the bull by the horns in dealing with their own issues.
Right.
Use this as the excuse to develop your own sense of a healthier sexuality, whether that means you need more information, you need to learn more about your own personal sexual preferences, you just need to work on your own issues so that you can be more comfortable with the topic.
Yeah, and it could be because if we're uncomfortable about a topic, our conversation with others, including our children, are going to be really difficult, it seems to me.
Right. When I did my dissertation research at home in Iceland, and it was with women as far as their experiences of their mothers as sex communicators growing up, for a lot of them, it wasn't necessarily what she was saying or wasn't saying. It was her body language.
Right.
Like when she was asked or when an issue came up. And that sending much louder messages than what any word could.
It's so true. It's so true. So let's talk a little bit about sensualfusion.com. Can you give us a bit of an overview?
Well, it's a site I set up years ago, kind of a pet project to house a lot of information I've created over the years, like articles I've written, podcasts and webcasts I've done with my colleague, sex counselor Eric Garrison. Plus, you know, it was a vision I had with a friend years ago as far as recognizing that we needed to take a more holistic approach to sexuality issues. A lot of people think, you know, if there's an issue, you can compartmentalize it, you know, just deal with that one, you know, bug in the system and everything will work out once it's fixed. And they don't recognize it's often interwoven, the issues, there's often a domino effect.
Right. Is your work is collaborative, as you just mentioned, with your colleague, and it's also marvelously body-centric, right?
Yes. I tried to make it holistic, which was part of the inspiration behind sensual fusion. You know, sensual being, let's recognize that we're more than just sexual beings, and fusion, of course, being such a hot word these days, you know, whether it's, you know, food or style or cars,
right,
whatever.
Right.
But it is about recognizing that we all have things to learn from each other, and different disciplines are and will continue to contribute to our understanding of ourselves as sexual beings. So it's about drawing on a number of different disciplines and finding out what's the best recipe for you.
Right. So let's start with some of the basics. I'm of the mind that sexual well-being is more than simply being able to perform. It's also taking responsibility for our eroticism as an integral part of our personality and involvement with others. After watching some of your videos, I think that I can safely say that you and I agree, right?
Yes, definitely. You can't just go through the motions. There needs to be a lot more to it than that, especially if you're going to enjoy it a lot more.
Right.
You know, you're with somebody, they're going to get into your energy a lot more if you can own it instead of being passive about everything. So I'm definitely on the same page with you on that one.
So any tips on how any one of us might liberate our erotic desires from the confines of the safe and secure to bring us to a place more authentically us?
Right. Well, as you know, one of the biggest recommendations is to start with the self. You know, what turns you on? And, you know, masturbation is a part of this, but I like the broader definition of self-pleasuring because while it is important to know your body and to identify your hot spots and practice things on your own so that you can hopefully share that with a lover one day, it's also important to realize that there's a lot more to getting turned on than different body parts or sexual response. You know, it's all about what's going on between the ears.
Right.
It's all in your environment. You know, I had a professor preach that the entire universe can be a turn on, and anything can be an aphrodisiac. And I think that we need to make ourselves more open to what can be erotic, what can be sensual, what can make me feel good in my skin and sexy. Because if we limit ourselves with what we're told, you know, or what books give us, what society gives us permission to get into, we really block out a huge part of what our pleasure could be.
Right. And then learning how to communicate that to somebody else. I mean, if I'm self-aware about what my erotic dimensions are in my life, but I can't communicate that with somebody else, a potential partner, for example, then we're kind of lost.
Oh, I really wish that there would be some sort of curriculum, comprehensive curricula throughout
you know, K through 12 in this country where people were just taught healthy communication.
Isn't
you know, sexuality, relationship would be a part of that, but it's all about how to be effective and letting your needs and desires be known. And I think a lot of people don't want to take ownership for the communication issues because they think lovers are supposed to be mind readers, or if they know you really well, then they know what your needs and wants are. And it's easy to sit around and criticize instead of carpe diem, I'm going to take control and I'm going to with sensitivity present what my needs are instead of you know, being demanding or critical.
Or bullying. I mean, that's part of communication too, and I see that so much with young people. When we don't know how to communicate about just about anything, we become belligerent toward one another, and that's just, you know, the wrong way to try to communicate. And some people bring that kind of mentality into relationships, and it sabotages absolutely everything.
Mm-hmm. And I think if more parents were better communicators with each other, if parents treated their children with a little more respect in the way they communicate with them, like basically if we had better role models, then we would be able to take that into our intimate relationships for healthier relationships.
So let's talk a little bit about sex toys, or as we used to call them in the old days, marital aids. I'm doing a whole podcast series about this called Play With It. So I'm eager to have you weigh in on some of the issues I address in that series. Health concerns. Since sex toys are not regulated and there is no one out there looking out for the consumer in terms of safety and whatnot, what are some of the more important things we consumers should know about buying and using sex toys or any adult products?
Well, one of the biggies is to look out for phthalates. In your products, they tend to be not recommended. For people who may have latex allergies, look for sex toys made of silicone. It's considered a nicer material. First and foremost, though, I would just say make sure you know how to keep them clean. And it's as
isn't that the truth?
Warm water and soap. And then treating yourself to upgrading them on a regular basis, because even if you do clean them well regularly, they are porous, which means it's not going to be 100% clean. So they do need to be upgraded on occasion. There's so much on the market, so much to choose from. Like, let yourself have fun with something new. But personally, while I think that there are, for example, with vibrators, good starter ones. Like, you can find some decent ones for like $15 to get familiar with that. I would then recommend upgrading to the nicer ones made of the more expensive materials.
And rechargeable.
Right. Yeah, they're environmentally friendlier, but they will also just be better for you as far as less chance of an allergic reaction, for example.
In terms of enhancing couple play, if I had to guess, I'd have to say that most people use sex toys in their private play, but more and more products are being produced that are designed to enhance couple play. Do you find that couples are now shopping together to buy their toys, or is there still a lot of resistance to bringing toys into partner play? I know men sometimes get really resistant to the idea of introducing like a vibrator to couple play.
Sure. I would say that men still have the concern that a vibrator can outperform them or bring their partner greater satisfaction, especially the younger guys who just aren't as in the know or as experienced. And unfortunately, also have then partners who aren't as savvy with the sex toys to really know the difference so much, and then you go back to not being able to communicate effectively and assumptions being made, and just becomes like a bit of a disaster. But I would say with older groups especially, and with all of the media coverage with strengthening sexual relationships, you know, and good books, it's definitely a fun adventure for couples to do shopping in the privacy of an online store and to then experiment together. And with men, more older men, being less resistant, because whether with one partner or several partners over the years, they've learned that it does enhance play. It does make things easier. There's nothing wrong with a woman in particular becoming more orgasmic or coming faster with like a vibrator than
right.
his penis. You know, at the end of the day, a lot of people do prefer human touch to a toy. So that's something important to keep in mind. But I think it's just a sign of the times, too, that sex toys are not as taboo as they used to be.
Yeah, they're mainstream. I mean, you can see them in national magazines and on the store shelves of the Walgreens. And
oh, and
whatnot.
They just keep making more and more money every year. They've been, like, recession-proof.
Right, it's so true.
It's amazing.
One final thing about sex toys, and that's greening our sex lives.
Mm-hmm.
There is a growing grassroots movement in the adult products marketplace to green the products and the industry, and thus the consumer's sex life. Are you seeing this trend as well, or is that just wishful thinking on my part?
Well, most definitely you see sex toy companies recognizing that there are consumers who want to be environmentally friendly in their purchases. So they're trying to meet that need. I don't know, though, if it's necessarily replacing other purchases or if it's really helping out the environment in the long run. I know that the companies are trying to be more sensitive to those sorts of issues. They know that there are consumers who want those sorts of products, who are being mindful about what they're putting on and in their bodies. And we just see how well the grocery store Whole Foods has done in the last.
It's true enough. Absolutely. It's amazing. So there's a consciousness that is coming from, I think, is generated by the consumers, and then the product developers are responding to that need. It doesn't seem to me that it often comes from the producers first. It's the demand that is being met by the supply.
Yes, typically I believe that's the case.
Right. So let's move on a little bit and talk about pornography. It's still such a stumbling block for so many. However, like the toy end of the industry, conscientious consumers as well as sex-positive producers are reshaping porn. Is that your perception as well?
Well, I would overall agree, yes, especially when it comes to what females are desiring with explicit material. Mm-hmm.
And I'm always careful to remind people, particularly the men folk, that they ought not get their sex ed from porn. However, sexually explicit video material can tell us a little something about sexual patterning, and there is the enrichment factor as well.
Well, there, no matter where you stand on the issue of pornography, like if it's an evil or good thing, we can't deny the fact that you can learn something from porn. Now, is it in your better interest? Is it correct? It's arguable, but like you said, it can give people plenty of ideas.
Right.
It can give them inspiration.
Right.
It can show them things like human sexual response, different positions, certain forms of pleasure and eroticism that turn some people on. So that's one of the reasons I would recommend for people who are willing to go that route, you know, sample what's out there. Find what works for you, whether it's a storyline or lack thereof, the type of people being featured. You know, there are a lot more out there than what we're typically given, you know, via Playboy, Penthouse, that kind of thing. But also then be aware that what you're often being fed is fantasy.
Right.
And it's not how a lot of people react in bed or other places, that you do need to get your ultimate education somewhere else. For example, years ago, a guy from the Middle East emailed me because he was confused about how babies were made. He had only accessed porn that always ended with a cum shot on the woman's stomach.
Yes.
So it was like, how does the semen or sperm get in her body? Yeah, the basics. And,
right, it's true.
So realize you're only seeing one angle of sexuality.
Exactly. And you know what? I often encourage my couples that I see in my private practice who are adverse to pornography to perhaps read erotica which is, you know, a lovely alternative. Yes. And gets you stimulating your libido as well as being, and I encourage my couples to read erotica out loud so that they can hear themselves say the words that sometimes are a real stumbling block for them. So.
Those are great ideas.
Good, thanks. So let's talk a little bit about sex, sexuality, and gender. How is our sexual orientation or our affectional choices tied up with gender, or is there a connection?
Well, society tries to force a connection on us as far as, you know, if you identify as a certain gender, then that must equal a certain kind of sexual orientation or vice versa. For example, I remember years ago, Dateline did a special on a couple that had been married for 30 years, a heterosexual couple where the man finally told his wife, "I've always, since I was a little boy, I've always felt like a female and I want to go through a sex change. Can you support me in that process?" And she did, and he became she, and it was a really powerful story. But Dateline kept wanting to ask this couple, as well as other couples in similar situations that they interviewed, "How's your sex life?" And then, "Are you now a lesbian because your husband is not your wife?" And so, like, that they had to figure out this formula. And the issue really has always confused my students over the years, and it always results in wonderful debate because people are uncomfortable with fluidity. People are don't like that they can't predict things if they don't know certain things about people.
So in the past, as I think you were just saying, things were pretty cut and dried with a binary system, female, male. Mm-hmm. As we looked at gender, but that's changing now. Gender, as you suggest, is a whole lot more fluid. I think it's always been, but it's now coming to consciousness a whole lot more. And younger people have less difficulty, it seems to me, to, you know, in identifying themselves in part of the spectrum that is neither male or female.
I would definitely agree that there's a lot more consciousness, and then with younger populations, more support and understanding of those who want to go outside of our country's binary system, you know, whether it's a third gender or some other way of identifying with gender, including choosing not to label oneself.
Right.
At the same time, sadly enough, as you know, there's still a lot of problems in parts of this country where people's lives would be threatened, where people are bullied, where people aren't given the freedom and the safe space to be who they are and identify the way that they're comfortable. So I would say we are generations away from having a society where the majority of people would be comfortable with this way of approaching gender and sexual orientation. But I think we've made a lot of progress.
I'm just looking at my clock and I see that our time for today is over. And yet I have so much more that I want to talk to you about. Any chance you could come back next week and chat some more?
That sounds wonderful.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, nice.
Before we go, would you give us your website address, walk us around a little bit, and tell us where we can buy your books?
All right. Well, my website is YvonneKFulbright.com. That's Yvonne with a Y and Fulbright with one L. I also run SensualFusion.com and then provide sexuality information and education with AstroGlide.com. But you can find my books through my websites or on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, as well as other booksellers.
Are you a Twitter gal?
You know, I've got my Twitter account linked to my Dr. Yvonne K. Fulbright Facebook.
Okay.
So they update it.
Oh, cool. Good. So I'll have links to all of those things in today's podcast posting, and we will be visiting you in cyberspace in the interim.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks,
you. Yvonne. See you soon.
Cheers.
What a delightful show. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week at this time for part two of my chat with Yvonne Fulbright and more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. However, before we go, let me remind you that this week's podcast sponsor is Spunk Lube. Hey, smut puppies! Have you been looking for something to spice up your sex play, but you haven't got a whole lot of cash to blow on the effort? I hear ya. Sex toys and fetish gear can be so freaking expensive, huh? But don't give up, because I have something absolutely amazing that will give you and your partners hours and hours of fun for just $15.
I'm gonna fuck them if they can't take a joke.
Exactly my thoughts. Here's what you do. Hurry on over to spunklube.com. Look for their best-selling product, Spunk Hybrid. This is the famous lube that looks and feels just like your own cum. But it's even better than your own jizz because it's never sticky nor it will stain clothes or bedding. This amazing hybrid of water-based and silicon-based lube is ideal for all guys out there who complain to me that you don't shoot much of a load, if any. Hey, I'm talking to you guys living through prostate cancer. Spunk Lube will help you overcome being self-conscious about no longer having a nut to shoot. Spunk Lube is condom compatible, and you can use it with your favorite toys, even your expensive silicon toys. And you'll love the packaging too. Drop everything and dash on over to spunklube.com and pick up a load of fun. You'll be glad you did. And remember, Spunk Hybrid is just one of their fine products. And when you visit, tell them Dr. Dick sent you. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.